if you're just in a Sunday sermon discussion group and you don't have scripture as your foundation, what you're doing is you're going over to the house with a crane and moving it from its rocky foundation to a sandy foundation. You don't want to do that. We don't want to build our house on sand. We need a solid foundation. On today's podcast, I'm going to share with you why we need our foundation on the rock. Stay with us. Hey guys, and welcome to this week's Grace and Truth. I'm a grateful, gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. I hope and pray that you're doing well. Today, we are beginning a two-part podcast called Rocks and Sandcastles. This was originally broadcasted live on Facebook on June 14th, 2020. Let's begin with prayer. Father God, Adonai, we thank you that you are still with us. And I thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship together, even though we're all scattered, but by heart together. Father, I thank you for what you're doing, even when we don't understand why it is that all of this is going on. We need you more than ever, especially in a pandemic like this, and with all of the riots that have been occurring, and the division between the African American community and those in law enforcement. Father, for those who feel as if they are a tug-of-war rope, would you just give them guidance? Would you give us the right words to speak? Would you remind us that it is you who we trust, and that the root issue is not racism or disrespecting authority, it's sin altogether. Father, I ask that as we talk about this issue that I'm going to be bringing up today, please speak through me as your messenger. May what I say in error be stricken from our ears as we dive into your word. What we know not, Lord, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know about you guys, but you probably know that as an adult, I absolutely love going to the beach and love going with friends especially. But what you probably didn't know, especially since I struggle with Asperger's, which is high-functioning autism, what you probably didn't know is that when I used to go with family as a child, I actually used to hate going to the beach. I was not a fan of it. I mean, think of it like this. It's cold. I mean, there's a lot of animals out there that I may not be good big fans of. One of them I'm still not a big fan of, and that's seagulls. I've always had an aversion when it comes to seagulls. I cannot stand them, but that's just me. But yeah, there's also the seaweed that's on the ground. I mean, that stuff's disgusting. Why would I want to see that? But later on, I'd come to learn to accept and enjoy the beach. In fact, I used to live close by the beach when I lived in Monterey for 2 years, when I was going to school in Monterey. And I can tell you that was a great experience, being able to go to school there, get connected with a church there, and really see how my life would be changed because of one seed planted, a seed of recovery. You see, back then, I thought that when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I would be that I would basically want to do, that I'd live a perfect life and I'd be able to do things on my own. own and do everything out of my own whim and expect God to do certain things for me. Obviously, that didn't work, and it doesn't necessarily, and it never works. And yet, even in that experience, it gave me an opportunity to get the help that I needed and eventually start going through Celebrate Recovery and then eventually have this desire to want to learn more. You see, the true life transformation came through surrendering myself to the Lord. There's a huge difference between inviting Jesus into your life and surrendering yourself to Jesus altogether. He's holy, he's righteous, and we don't choose him by nature. He chooses us. So he chose me. He chose those of you. He chose you. All you have to do is just acknowledge that you need him, that you can't do this on your own. And guess what? He waits for us. He waits for us to actually get to that point where we need to remind, where we need to recognize, I can't do this on my own. Now that you get the idea of how I came to really understand Christ, and staying on the topic of beaches, here's one thing you got to keep in mind, and I'm sorry I got off track a bit, but bear with me. In the beach, you're going to find a lot of things. I already mentioned seagulls, and I don't like seagulls. Seaweed, not a big fan of that either. The seaweed in sushi restaurants is great, though. But not on the beaches. Ugh. But you'll also find the sky and the sun and volleyball courts. I love volleyball. That I do love. And many other places. And some even have like really good seafood places and a lot of good parks too. Like Santa Cruz is known for that. I mean, they got a great seafood place. I'm sure they have some good sushi places, I guess. But seafood places that are really good. And let's not forget Half Moon Bay. But what each beach has in common is this. Kids go there to build sandcastles. And when you build a sandcastle, there is one little thing you got to keep in mind. You got to be careful about those waves, because by the time the wave gets to your sandcastle, guess what happens? Your sandcastle's destroyed. It's a no-brainer. Now, I've noticed, of course, when I was with some friends last year, I remember I was with Nicole, who was my girlfriend at the time, as well as some friends of ours from my previous church, VCC. I noticed that there was a rock that really wasn't budging. Even though the sand was moving when the water was moving back and forth, the rock was standing pretty still. Until I picked it up and threw it into the sea. But you get the idea. It wouldn't budge. Now, the reason why I use that as an example is to talk about the passage that I'm going to be reading in a moment. And that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And I want you to turn your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And while you're turning there, or if you just want to listen, that's totally fine as well. I want you to also think for a moment about this while we're at it. We're seeing a lot of these riots. We're seeing the riots when it comes to the response as a result of the tragic murder of George Floyd and the people who are looting and destroying businesses as a result of these riots. And then we have all these people wanting social justice. We need to do this. We want to make sure that people are treated equally. But most of these social justice groups have a tendency to also want to justify things that are not biblical. I mean, one of them is abortion. I am against abortion. I believe that children are created in the image of God. And it is absolutely unethical to do something like that. There is hope for those who have had abortions, and that's forgiveness through Christ Jesus our Lord. But that's just one example. But what all of these have in common is this. Most of those ideologies are not based on a foundation that's solid. It's basically out of our own thinking and wanting to do things our way or the highway. That's not how the Christian life operates. The Christian life operates like this. We surrender ourselves to God. He takes full control of our lives. He knows what's best for us. Heath Hardesty always described this as an unhurried life. And when it comes to fully surrendering ourselves to God, He works through us and we follow His timing. And His timing is an unhurried timing. Now, I want you to listen to this passage carefully, because not only do I want to talk about this passage, not only do I want to use this passage as an example when it comes to discerning what we should be doing when it comes to the pandemic and these riots and all of these protests and social justice, but I also want it to be used as an example when it comes to how we are to use the Bible. Some people are using it to meditate on it, and that's not bad, but there has to be more than just that. And I'm not talking about the spiritual disciplines that you find from Dallas Willard's book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, or The Celebration of the Disciplines by Richard Foster. I don't support spiritual formation. I believe it's an unbiblical concept, and I do have alternatives to that movement, and I'm going to explain that later on. But first, if you have your Bible, let's lift up our hearts for the reading of the Word of God. From the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. May God bless the reading of His Word. Let me tell you, the reason why I'm using this passage is because, think of it like this. I've met people who started groups that are social justice oriented and I've even seen a lot of posts about this from both sides, and it's disappointing. I mean, I have friends who are business owners who have had their buildings, I mean, their own businesses have had shattered glass and it's really negatively affected them. I can't imagine what that's like. But then you have the other side of it. I mean, I have a friend who's African American who was pulled over by the police recently, and I couldn't understand it. I mean, he's not like what you would expect as a stereotype. I mean, he and I, we've known each other since we were both in Bible college. That can't be the case. I'm like, how could this happen? But you see, what I'm seeing on social media is depressing, because it's like fighting back and forth. And then people saying, if you don't side with me, then you can just unfriend me. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. That's so childish. And I've even met some people who are like me. There's this chart that I saw where you have three circles, one about basically being in opposition of bad cops, and then you have one involving Black Lives Matter and all these other stuff, and then you have the middle part that says me. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm in that me minority. But that's mainly because my foundation is not on the Black Lives Matter movement. My foundation is not on supporting only the police officers and totally being respectful to their authority. I am talking about my foundation being on the rock, the Bible. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. It teaches us to obey our leaders and submit to their authority. And it also teaches us that we are all created in God's image. Race, skin color, that doesn't exist in heaven. But what does this have to do with Scripture and having your foundation based on Scripture? Well, if you're going to love those who are of the African American community or any other race, and if you're going to show respect to the authority, to the authorities, whether it be our governing authorities or whether you like them or not, because I know we all have our opinions about them, or even those who are police officers. I mean, my grandfather, who passed away last year, was a police officer, and he was very respected. We have to be able to ascertain with caution that how we view anybody of skin color, of authoritative rank, etc., that our foundation is on Scripture. Now that I got that taken care of, I want to explain how. Well, studying God's Word. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, what about meditating on it, or just reading a few verses and then just contemplating and just saying some words that come out? No. Nuh-uh. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. True study of God's Word is how we grow in our walk with the Lord. Because if we only build our foundation based on just doing spiritual disciplines and not actually studying God's Word, not knowing what the original author's intent was, that's doomed for disaster. I want to explain my experience on that. I have been to small groups. One was a part of a seeker-sensitive church where they would ask, what did you like, what did you dislike or disagree with, and what do you think it means, how do you think this will apply to your life? But you're focusing on yourself when you ask those types of questions, and those questions are a very distorted view of OIA. That is not how you use OIA. OIA stands for Observe, Interpret, and Apply, and I have in front of me right here a proper way of using OIA, okay? And I'm going to bring that up to you momentarily. So that's one problem. And the second problem is not utilizing OIA at all. I've been to groups where instead of studying the Bible, they would talk about the Sunday message. And that's not bad. Talking about the Sunday message from Sunday isn't bad at all. Well, it's a great way for you to get to know people and to be able to take what you've learned from Sunday and ask questions that apply to your life. But they're not Bible studies, though. They're great, but they're not Bible studies. And you don't want to solely rely on those for your spiritual nourishment. But the reason why I say this is because when it comes to those particular groups, if you're just in a Sunday sermon discussion group and they're not building their foundation on the Scriptures, but just focusing on just these spiritual disciplines, like, for example, meditating or fasting or serving, and you don't have Scripture as your foundation, what you're doing is you're going over to the house with a crane and picking that house up with that crane and moving it from its rocky foundation to a sandy foundation. You don't want to do that, because that's a good way to have your house destroyed. I've been to groups that are like that, and I had to get myself out of there as fast as I could. The moment I was pulled and I got myself out of there, I remember going to my friend's home community before I was commissioned to plant my current small group, my current comm group, my current home community, my current life group, whatever you call your small groups. And to ensure that I didn't have to go through that again, I wanted to make sure that our group was built on a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is this: God's Word. In fact, that's what our vision and mission is when it comes to my small group. We exist to let the Bible speak for itself and dwell in our hearts richly. That's based on Colossians 3:16. In fact, that happens to be one of the verses that comes with one of our principles in Celebrate Recovery, actually one of our steps, step 11, I think. But I could be mistaken. For those of you who are involved, let me know if I got it right or not. But the thing is, here's the point. I meet people who are saying, oh, you know what, Dave, I just want to meditate on the word. I mean, I don't really want to study it because not everybody's really interested in studying God's word. You know, my response to that is this. You're not supposed to care about how others think of you. And I want to refer to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, where Paul talks to the Galatian church. The Galatian church was making some really bad decisions at that time, and Paul was not impressed. Here's what he said to them, starting at verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who you called in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but that there are some of you who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Hashtag solid truth. In Celebrate Recovery, we call that people-pleasing, otherwise known as codependency. And that has no place in the body. How do we get that help from being in that trap of people-pleasing? We need to go to God's word. We need to let him work through us. We need him to work through us to help us surrender ourselves to him. That way we can be who God has called us to be. Not who we want ourselves to be, not how others want us to be, but who God wants us to be. Hey guys, we're out of time for today, but we'll continue this message next week. Thanks for listening. You can contact me at my website, chewmadenew.com, or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my story from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. If you were encouraged by it and learned something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my story on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chu, or you can go to chewmadenew.com and click on the link that says, click here to watch my testimony. Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cinco's!